Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the second Sunday in Lent. It's a blessing to be in the house of our Lord as we continue on in the season of preparation, the passion of our Lord and his coming resurrection. If your guests are visiting with us, we're especially glad you are here, along with all of our members alike. Just a reminder to fill out the attendance card you can find in your pews. Order of service for this morning is Divine Service Setting 1, begins on page 151 within our hymn.
Our first hymn, hymn 685, Let Us Ever Walk With Jesus. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have
his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 12.
The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. Then when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Chapter 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace, and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and calls into existence the things that do not exist." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Proceeded now is the hymn of the day, a song.
Thank you.
Grace to the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christians, for atheists to state and to argue that Jesus and Paul do not agree on the message and the way of salvation. But it is another thing entirely and truly saddening that many Christians state and argue the same. This should not be, nor is it even really true. Jesus confessed when he's speaking of the charge against him that he got his power from Satan. Jesus stated, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?" If Jesus and Paul are divided, opposing each other, then so is the very word of God. And truly, God is not divided. So it is rather striking what happens in this discussion from John chapter 3 between Jesus and Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was the ruler of the Jews, a prominent Pharisee. And that means he knew the law of God, the Torah, the instruction of Moses inside and out better than most. And he was committed to it, committed to keeping that Torah as perfectly as possible, all for the sake of the Jews finally ushering in the Christ himself, the Messiah, into the world. Nicodemus, a man representing at least one other, finds this Jesus to be rather intriguing. He acknowledges that he and at least one other know that Jesus is a teacher who is come from God. They have seen the signs, the miracles, the works that Jesus has already done, and they have concluded that God must truly be with him. Knowing then that he has a listening audience, Jesus equates seeing and entering the kingdom of God with eternal life and salvation. The prescription then that Jesus gives for seeing the very kingdom of God, you must be born again. Or more directly, from the Greek word that is there, anothen, born from above. Now Nicodemus, a reasonable man, states the impossibility of that, of being born again a second time here into this world. This is precisely where the Lord Jesus wants Nicodemus to be in his thinking. Indeed, no one can enter into the kingdom of God through their own means, their own physical means. Because of Adam's fall into sin, we are all now born dead in trespasses and in sins. St. Paul would later write in Ephesians chapter 2. So Jesus then states one must be born of water and of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, this table had already been set with the baptism prescribed by John the Baptizer. Now, Jesus would later solidify that very teaching when he instituted baptism as a sacrament, the sacrament that does indeed bring new spiritual Nicodemus, so steeped in the devolved religion of the Old Testament, could not understand how these things could be. So Jesus' response to Nicodemus is truly, "You're of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things." Jesus assumed that Nicodemus and all other teachers in Israel should indeed be aware of what the Lord Jesus is already busy doing and teaching, including the way to enter into the kingdom of God. But was that a fair assumption of Jesus? Well, it is from Jesus. So, of course, it is indeed fair. The way of life and the way of salvation had been laid out long ago. And that way of life and of salvation had not changed. Jesus gave Nicodemus a glimpse then of that way of salvation. He gave him a glimpse of the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The serpent on the pole brought healing to those who had been bitten by poisonous snakes, and those who then looked to the serpent, trusting that they would be healed, were saved. Jesus lifted up on the cross would provide the ultimate healing from the deadly poison of sin and of death. And Jesus emphasizes that point yet again in the verse we know well as John 3:16. Whoever believes in the Son shall not perish, but have eternal life. This has always been the way of salvation. Trust in the coming Christ, the Son of God, for life and for salvation. St. Paul saw fit to use Father Abraham as that pinnacle figure of saving faith. According to Joshua chapter 24, Abraham, before being called by God, was a worshiper of false gods. And so Abraham was not chosen because he was worthy ahead of time. He was chosen simply by the grace of God. God does not pick out people to be Christians who are already good people are on a good and right path. He elects those to be saved simply by his grace. Abraham then obeyed the call of God to go to a new land simply by God's grace alone. Later, make the covenant with Abraham regarding his promised son, the one who would be born from Abraham's own line. Abraham trusted that word of God. He believed in Yahweh God, and God counted it to Abraham as true. St. Paul had been a lot like Nicodemus. He too was a teacher in Israel. Paul was a devout Pharisee, well known by Nicodemus and the others in the Sanhedrin. Paul would later write that he was considered the best of the best amongst the Jews, even going so far as persecuting Christians for believing that Jesus was the Christ. Paul was later converted, of course, by direct revelation from Jesus. Paul would then be catechized by the Lord Jesus as the 12 apostles had once been. Jesus then led St. Paul to proclaim the gospel of salvation by faith alone, as it had been communicated to Abraham and by the Lord Jesus. Now, many of the Jews held Abraham in the highest of regard upon a pedestal of sorts because they believed him to be that pinnacle performer of good works before God. But Paul knew the truth. Abraham obeyed God and trusted him only through the gift of faith that was received by grace. For if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God, Paul wrote. Abraham never boasted in his works. He clung to the promises of God, but even then he did so as a sinner. For not long after his call to leave his homeland of Ur, Abraham was deceptive to the Pharaoh in Egypt, not calling Sarah properly his wife so as to not himself. Abraham, too, needed the righteousness of God, gifted by faith. Paul then goes on to the comparison of a gift versus a wage. To the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. God had credited righteousness to Abraham as a gift, not as a wage. For forgiveness before the Lord God is never earned by any sinner. It is only ever earned by Jesus. Now, this is the truth that Nicodemus should have known. It is the truth that all of the faithful throughout the Old Testament had known. Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced that he would see the day of Jesus. Jesus then said that Abraham did see his day, and he was glad. So how is that even possible? The Jews then asked Jesus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus acknowledged his eternal identity as Yahweh, God. The incarnation of the Son of God, the eternal begotten one, promised to be the Messiah and the Christ. That was the faith of the Old Testament. Adam and Eve, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, Joshua, and Samuel, David, and Solomon, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, they all were believers in the coming Christ, the one who would be indeed the Word of God made into flesh, who came once as that Word of God and stood in their midst, spoke to them as a man in their presence. He would be made flesh fully and completely for them. That faith was credited to them as righteousness. That is the eternal gospel. Changed, and it never will change. For just as Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, so the way of life and salvation is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Old Testament foretold of the suffering servant who would bear the iniquities of all the world. The Lamb's blood painted on the doorposts in Egypt cried ahead to the coming of the Lamb of God. The serpent on the pole planted the seed of faith that the Son of God himself would be lifted up upon the pole of the cross. And all who look to him, who believe in him, who confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, who are baptized into his holy name, will be saved and have eternal life. For Jesus and Jesus alone always has and always will be the way of life and salvation. All thanks be to God. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and into life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and in truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. kindness, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you. stand and sing the post-communion hymn. Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. You may be seated.
Our musicians this morning, Mr. Williams on the organ and Mrs. Luann Miller playing on the oboe. Appreciate that music here this morning for our service. We do have a couple announcements. Thank you to all those who did come out and support our school through our trivia night last night. It was a lot of fun and a lot of great fellowship. So we praise our God for that and the continued work of those here at our school. We have our next eat night for our school 1 week from tomorrow. It'll be March the 9th. That'll be at Texas Roadhouse, our springtime there, Texas Roadhouse. So join us for that. You can find a flyer for that eat night on the table as you exit the sanctuary here this morning. We do have our midweek services for the season of Lent. That will take place this coming Wednesday at 3:30 and at 7:15. There's a meal in between those services right after the 3:30 service this week. So you're welcome to join us for that. There are Lenten devotional books also on the table as you do exit the sanctuary this morning. We do go forth in the name of our Lord. We greet each other in peace and go on our way to our education hour.